All right, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alama. We just read 1 Kings chapter 8, 66 verses, translation and commentary. And now this is the second in a series of receiving the Holy Spirit, both inwardly and outside. All right, so let's begin.
Receiving the Holy Spirit, Part 2, The Experience of the Apostles. Immediately after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles were the first to experience the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that group, people like to call us groups. The Antichrist likes to call us groups. They call themselves a church, but we're groups, okay? Just like Jesus and his group, God and his group, and Satan and his magnificent cult, okay? Then what?
They were the first group to experience the Holy Spirit. They also had another experience. They experienced first the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and then the outward descending of the Holy Spirit. Christ entered into them when he blew his breath into them, and then the Holy Spirit descended down upon them and, of course, in them. The Lord was telling them about that as early as in John chapter 14.
Okay, let's read that in chapter 14, and I tell it with verses.
Chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 20.
So the Lord said, because I live this kind of life, you also shall live this kind of life too, the kind of life I live. He said he's going to give us the power to live the kind of life that he lives. In other words, exactly the kind of life he lives. Sinless, amen?
Amen.
Full of power and truth. Then what?
Verse 20.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
All right, then what?
At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Right. So if the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in you, well, and he's doing the work where you're living, he's saying that you have the power to you will do the same work that I'm doing. You will live the same life that I live. Okay, let's go ahead now.
The Lord promised his disciples that he would ask the Father to send them, quote, another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, to dwell within them, that they might live as the Lord lives, unquote. Verse 16 through 20. This word of the Lord indicated that they would experience the Holy Spirit inwardly as life. On the night of the resurrection, while the disciples were together, the Lord came into their midst and, quote, breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, unquote. John chapter 20, verse 22.
Was there any good works that they were doing to receive that?
No.
As a matter of fact, they were scared to death. They'd lost faith in him. Huh?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But they really believed in him because he was standing right in front of them. He came in through the walls. Amen?
Amen.
Ho-ho! Oh, my God! So he breathed, received the Holy Spirit. Ha! He blows into them, and they received it. That was it. Amen?
Amen.
Make cold chills go up and down my whole body. And what else?
Thus the Lord fulfilled his earlier promise by causing them to have the Holy Spirit enter into them and become their life. The day God created Adam out of the dust, he breathed into him that Adam might have life and become a living man with his spirit.
He said living soul, but a living soul means a living man, living person. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Now, in the same manner, the Lord breathed...
Because the soul is the whole man. Amen?
Amen.
That's one way you're living a soulish life, you're living a carnal life. Natural life, but the Lord wants your spirit to be revived, resurrected. He wants the spirit of life in you, which is the Lord's life in you. Amen?
Amen.
So he you see now the Lord, and into you he comes. You see him in his word, just as they saw him in the room, and you say, he says, now you believe in me, receive my life. And he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Isn't that nice? Amen?
Amen.
That's really magnificent, beyond magnificence. Then what else?
Now in the same manner, the Lord breathed into the disciples that they might have life and become regenerated men. However, that which God breathed into man at creation, but some would say it is not the Spirit of God, but it was.
It was the Spirit of life, God, the life of God. They lost that life, the eternal life, by sinning, by disobeying God. And you lose that life as well when you disobey God. So if you were ignorant to that, well then, now you're not. Amen? Maybe this message got to somebody. Okay, then what?
However, that which God breathed into man at creation, but some would say it is not the Spirit of God, but it was. So what man obtained at that time was not only his own spirit, and it was eternal, because God's life was mingled in it. And so it was plus a created life.
A created life, because it was just dead. God created this dummy made out of dirt, and then he created this created life. He says made a man that had life in him. Amen? Because of his breath, his spirit, his neoma. Okay, then what?
On the night of the resurrection that the Lord breathed into his disciples was his own spirit. Therefore,
Now he just rose from the dead by the Spirit of life, amen? He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and so he rose himself up. No one else can pull that off, amen? He did it himself. He said, I lay my life down and I will raise it up, amen? Okay, then what?
Therefore the disciples obtained the Holy Spirit plus his uncreated eternal life, that
so
they might...
What do I mean by uncreated life? It's because nobody created God. God was there in the beginning. The Word was there in the beginning. That's why it's so evil to mock God's Word. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because God honors his name, his Word, above his name. Because the Word is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus is the life. And so if you're mocking God's word, you're mocking life. The only life that is available for you in this whole universe. Okay? And you see these comedians, just to get a laugh, they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They mock God's word. And, you know, they get laughs out of a bunch of other people that are laughing at his word as well. And they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit too, because they're wagging their heads and laughing and mocking at God's word. It's because they're carnal and they cannot know the Spirit, because they love to mock God and life. They are dead in their sins, and people need to pray that God's word will get to them somehow, and that they are the fear of God, just like it came to me. But even before I was saved, when people would mock God, it would make, there was something that I just say, I don't know if he exists. How can they know that he exists enough to where they could just mock that? I didn't believe it, but I didn't know for sure that it wasn't, you know? And so when it happened, it just, whoa, that was really it. That's all I needed. Okay, then what else?
Therefore the disciples obtained the Holy Spirit plus his uncreated eternal life, that they might live forever as the Lord himself lives. Therefore, accurately and practically speaking, Peter, James, John, and the rest of the apostles became born again of the Spirit, regenerated, obtaining God's life on the night of the resurrection. The breath
which... So they were resurrected to life on the same day Jesus was. Amen?
Amen.
All right, because the head needs a body to live in. Jesus is the head, we are the body. We are the members. We need to be alive exactly as he is in order for him to exactly do what he does and did when he was here in the world, as he's now in the world in us. Okay, then what? For years, it took me years to get everybody in the country and in the world to be preaching this, that he lives in us. Amen?
Amen.
Do you remember where they weren't saying that? Now
yes.
They're all saying that. Now, I'm going to instruct them that we must have the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now that I've got it through, the Lord has got it through me to them, that the Spirit is in. Now, you have to know that the Spirit does come down upon people with power. Okay? Before I bring the message tonight, I feel, you know, like a saved person, but I don't have, then I pray that the Lord will bring down his power and anoint me outwardly, and then now I can talk. Amen? Because it's the Spirit of the Lord on me. All right? But it's the Lord talking. So I need both. I need to know I have life, because I can't have the outward anointing unless I have the inward life first, the life of God, life of Christ in me first. God never gives the outward anointing to anyone unless they have the inward life first, unless they believe. Amen?
Amen.
And in the Old Testament, they believed that there was a Messiah coming, because even Adam knew that. Adam and Eve. And so they believed it, and therefore they could be saved. They were looking forward to the cross. We're looking backward at it. Okay? So everybody had to believe in Christ before he came, and we have to believe in him after he has come and gone and is coming back again. You understand? All right. Now let's get it through everybody's skull, into their hearts, the souls, and upon their bodies, the outward anointing. That were the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. Okay, because you could have life inside, but you need the power of God in and on you in order to do the work of the Lord. I need the anointing to preach, amen?
Amen.
You know that when I'm not preaching, well, some people think I'm just ordinary, amen? And some think even less than ordinary. But I have the outward anointing, amen?
Amen.
Because I pray for it. But I'm saved, amen?
Amen.
Inwardly and anointed outwardly as well. The Spirit's inside and outside. It's like we need to swim in this. We have to be everywhere. We have to walk in the Spirit all day long. I'm praying too, amen?
Amen.
But when I'm preaching or teaching, I have to have the anointing. Then you can feel something. Amen?
Amen.
You can feel something inside your spirit. And upon you also. Right?
Right.
And people say all over the world that they feel it too. So that's the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Lord. That's the anointing. Jesus had the Holy Spirit. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit. He had it all his life for 30 years. He was able to work in a humble carpenter shop, which was his, not his real dad, but the one that he lived with. And then on the day that he was baptized outwardly with the Holy Spirit came down like a dove upon him. Upon him. Amen?
Amen.
And gave him the power, outwardly and inwardly, to be driven into the wilderness and to overcome every temptation that came his way. Even though he had before, still he did not have the power at that time to do God's work until that happened. Because he was just a human, amen?
Amen.
That was filled with the eternal life, was begotten by the Holy Spirit just like we are now. Because he wants us to live the exact same life that he did. Now, only, of course, we're living in modern times, and he has us doing different things, a lot of the same things, and a lot of different things as well. It's all laid out for us. We just need to receive it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's continue on.
The breath which the Lord breathed into them was the breath of life. It was wholly for life, not for power.
Totally for life, in other words. Totally for life. Which had power to keep his commandments, but not to be in the ministry. Not to minister. Otherwise, he would have been ministering. Amen?
Amen.
There was no need for him to have the power to minister or to do the things God wanted to do in the ministry until the time God put him in the ministry at age 30. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It was totally for life, not for power, some would say, but it has the element of power in it. Not the type of power that was received at Pentecost, though. At Pentecost, the apostles experienced the other aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit, namely the Holy Spirit as power. Acts chapter 2, verse...
Baptist said, ye shall have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, quote, when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder, like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Unquote.
So the Spirit was then using them in the ministry to speak to all these people that had come there from other nations. They were ministering now. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Jesus never ministered until that time that he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we, if we're going to do a work for the Lord, all must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So any church or that it's immature church, I'll say, give them, I'll be kind, that says that there is not the Holy Spirit, you're getting into a dangerous ground, because they're getting close to, if not, they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, the Holy Spirit, the power thereof, the ministering thereof. They don't minister the word. Amen?
Amen.
They don't let the Lord minister in and through them. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, the Lord called us not to just have life, but to give life to others. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
From this time forth, the apostles preached the gospel with great power, bringing thousands and tens of thousands to salvation.
Right. Are we bringing thousands and ten thousands to the Lord, to salvation? Yeah. Some people say there's 40 got saved today. A whole village got saved. The whole town is saved. Hundreds got saved. You know, 10 got saved. I got saved, you know. All over the place, you know. It just keeps going on every day. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So there, you know, everybody needs to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm doing a series of receiving the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Inwardly and outwardly. Amen? You can't deny one. You say, well, I don't feel the Spirit in me. Well, then pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray, just pray, because you know when I pray, and we all pray together, you feel the Spirit, don't you?
Yeah.
So whenever you want to feel the Spirit, just pray for the outward anointing. Amen?
Amen.
You got it?
Amen.
Good. Then what?
If we compare both instances of the experience of the apostles in receiving the Holy Spirit, we can see the difference. The Holy Spirit of life, which gives them the power of eternal life, which they experienced on the night of the resurrection, was symbolized by the, quote, breath, unquote, while the Holy Spirit of power to preach the gospel and to listen and obey the Lord, which they experienced at Pentecost, was symbolized by three things: wind, fire, and tongues. Both wind and fire typify power, while the tongue is for speaking and is also related to power, because the Word of God is the most powerful two-edged sword.
It is the thing, the tongues, the speaking of the Word, which what brought through thousands, brought about thousands and thousands of souls. Amen? So they had the wind and fire and the tongues. They were able to use their tongue to bring forth life. The tongue, the Bible says, can bring forth life or it can bring forth death. And the Lord says that no man can tame it. It has to be tamed by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Furthermore, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, quote, sat upon each one of them, unquote. He did not enter into them because the Spirit was already in them.
Yeah, but he did. It says they were filled. So it did enter. It didn't immediately enter into them. It fell upon them first and then filled them with the power. Amen?
Amen.
But the power of the Holy Spirit must come down and will come down upon you from time to time when you pray for it. Or when it's needed. That's why when you feel something overpowering you that you know is not of the Lord, then you just get aside, take a prayer hour or a prayer moment and get a hold of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit come down with the power to take you through it. Amen?
Amen.
In the meantime, bite your tongue or your lip until you get into the closet, okay, into that. Then what?
Therefore, what they experienced then was the Holy Spirit upon them outwardly. It also entered into them inwardly as their power, because the Bible tells us that He would live inside of us, and so the power of God lives in us. It was through this outward...
In us and is outward upon us. Okay, then what?
It was through this outward power of the Holy Spirit that they were able to speak the tongues of the nations, preach the gospel, and later work for the Lord in different regions. Therefore, in the experience of the apostles, we can also see both aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit, and that they experience the inward aspect first, and then the outward and inward again, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I saw the Holy Spirit descending upon me, but I also knew that the Holy Spirit was filling me inwardly as well. So we have both the inward and the outward experience at the same time.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. And until part three of receiving the Holy Spirit, meditate on these things and constantly communicate with the Spirit. There's no need for you to be any longer without this feeling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you. Amen?
Amen.
You're saved. Now, be led by the Spirit. How? Pray. Always. Pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen.
Meditate on that, and not only while you're meditating, pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen.
Till then, God bless you. This is Pastor Tony Alamo, and God bless you, and praise the Lord.